Today is Saturday, the 20th of August, 2022, and we are all gathered here for the 45th session on mindfulness for beginners. I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to today's session. And I would like to also welcome all those joining through Zoom and the Facebook live stream to today's session for mindfulness for beginners. And also, please note that this is a video on session, and you can turn on your videos at will. And we would like to have you engage actively as much as possible during this session to aid a feeling of a community of mindfulness, so to speak. So if possible, please turn the videos on to that effect. So for us to get started with the session today, I would like to invite Bhante to commence the session proceedings with the in-session mindfulness practice for today. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Namanta, can you hear?
Yes, Bhante, I can hear you.
Okay. Hello, everybody. So, we are starting another program. So, we will start our session with a practicing part. Today, we will do a sitting session, mindful sitting for about 10 to 15 minutes. That's the idea. For this, you have to adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable. When you have that comfort, you can close your eyes and pay attention that you are sitting. Sit comfortably, close your eyes and pay attention that you are sitting. Calmly notice what comes your attention when you pay attention like this. What are the things that you notice? Maybe as the starting part, you may notice surrounding sounds, vehicle sounds, or maybe people talking, animals, various sounds are there. Among these sounds, you may notice your body as well. Maybe the pressure on your back, pressure on your legs, you notice. Some of you may notice your breath, maybe at nostrils, or as a movement of your stomach or chest. Breath goes in, comes out. Again, it goes in, comes out. Time to time, thoughts, past incidents, future planning, these things may appear. But you can be aware that you are thinking. You can be aware that you are planning the future. You can be aware that you are thinking about past incidents. Again and again, we try to be aware and we try to come back to the present moment. In this present moment, you are sitting. You can return back to that awareness. Certain bodily sensations may appear. Pain may appear. Sometimes sleepiness will appear. But among these things, you know that you are sitting. Various things come and go, but you are peaceful in this present moment. So the idea is to appreciate this peace for some time. As a group, let's try to appreciate that peace for a while. Okay, now you can open your eyes. So that's our time for mindful sitting today. The idea is to practice this on your own. Every day, try 10-15 minutes of sitting at least. You just close your eyes, pay attention, simply be aware that you are sitting. If you can stay for longer periods, that's much better. 40-50 minutes you can stay. If you are a beginner, you can start with 10-15 minutes and try. Okay, Namantha, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much praise to Bhante. Now I would like to invite Sonali to read out the reports received for today. Over to Sonali. Thank you.
Sarai Bhante, and thank you, Namantha. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can hear you well. That's fine.
Okay. I will read out the reports for today. There are two reports. The first one, walking meditation. Initially stood aware of standing posture with eyes closed, noted cold in and warm out breaths, expanding and contracting the chest, then noted weight of feet, the heel on hard wooden floor, and lighter weight of toes on the floor. Noted hair touching arms and neck and saliva in mouth. Started walking, noting left foot being raised, moving and placing, and then the right. The beginning, middle, and end of lifting movement, then the moving and placing noted. Felt mind being slightly more attracted to the lighter feeling when foot moved and less attracted to the placing. Gait unsteady at times. Eyes closed mostly. Sounds not distracting. Thoughts minimal, not too distracting. Walked for 30 minutes. Sitting meditation. Observed breath as primary object and mind went to thoughts. Observed thoughts proliferating at times and appearing and disappearing at other times. Different sensations on body noted, but these were not distracting. Mind going back to breath, which disappeared for a while. A space appeared where the breath would have been and expanded. This lasted a short time, mind noting it as a perception. Mind restless, and after 50 minutes, eyes opened, but was determined to sit the full hour, which was done. Daily mindfulness. Aware of vast expanse when looking at sky, and noted the heat element of the sun during a trip to the beach. Walked at times, aware which foot was being placed. Mind was aware that was being observed were only results due to the present causes. Heat due to sun, breeze on arms and feet cooling, softness of fine sand on feet, and temperature of water. Observed sweating and changes within minutes when breeze present. Noted wild flowers alongside beach, noting that different colors, aware they would appear different at other times, depending on eye or weather and light conditioning changing. That's the end of report.
Okay, Sonali, can we go back to the sitting report? There were like few sentences about some perception. Can you figure it out?
Yeah.
Can you read out just 3-4 sentences that's related to that part?
Yeah, different sensations on body noted, but these were not distracting. Mind going back to breath, which disappeared for a while. Then a space appeared where the breath would have been and expanded. This lasted a short time, mind noting it as a perception.
Okay, right. So when you observe the breath, or let's say the object of mindfulness, it could be breath, it could be a sensation at your feet. So you are observing that object. You see various shapes, forms of that object, right? And when you see it, you can really see that the object is disappearing. The object is disappearing, and you feel like there is no breath anymore. You feel some space, empty space kind of a thing, right? So it's not the breath that's disappearing. It's our perception changing. So breath is there, but we can't feel it. So this is how the faculties work. This is how the our sense doors work, right? So we can really see how they are adjusting themselves. We can really see how the perception is changing. So the practitioner, they try to see this process happening again and again. 1001 times you observe it. Without coming into conclusions, you observe. Usually our mind, we try to reach to conclusions. That's the usual behavior. Even without proper observation, we try to reach to conclusions. That's how we are. But here, we try to observe without coming into conclusions, judgments. We try to observe. 1001 times you observe with a neutral mind. Without taking a side, you observe. If you take a side, then you are caught. If you say something is good, then you have a struggle with the people who say that's bad. If you say something is bad, then you have a struggle with the opposition. In this practice, we train ourselves to be neutral without taking a side, without judging anything. We just be. We just observe. So this very training in your mind, it could reflect in your day-to-day life as well. You learn the art of not taking a side. You learn the art of being a neutral observer. If you take a side, then you are caught. If you take a side, then you have to struggle with others. So this is the idea. You train inside your mind, and with time you realize that it is how it is applicable to your day-to-day life, how it is applicable to your workplace, how it is applicable to your family life. All these things tag along. You just have to continue this observation. Don't take a side. Just know that this perception is changing, but I am observing again and again. 1001 times I observe with a neutral mind. And when you have that neutral mind, you can see these things are changing their shapes and forms. They come in a one shape, they evolve, and they disappear in a different shape. If you give a name, if you come to a conclusion, if you give a judgment, you are caught. Instead, you stay neutral, you become this observer. You don't reach to conclusions. You keep observing it again and again. And that's the practice. So continue with the observation. And we invite you to share your experience again.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the second report. Second report, mindful sitting. Did a quick body scan at the beginning, which helped recognize that the seated position was a bit imbalanced, adjusted the posture until it felt more even. Once the breath appeared, the rhythm of it was noted. In and out breath was prominent, and fairly soon after it became lighter. Temperature changes noted. at the beginning and that awareness reduced after a while. When the breath became fairly subtle, it felt that the mind was searching for it and found it in the form of rise and fall of the stomach. Just then, the thinking appeared. Don't go looking for things, just watch what is happening. That thought also faded. Breath broke up and airflow noted as waves and felt like parts of the nose had disappeared, but the waves of air flow still around. Mind was cautious, but it and while observing that feeling, curiosity also faded. Breath felt subtle again. Airflow noted as weaker and broken up, therefore was tightening in the body. It continued for some time, and outline of the seated body was fading. Pressure of the lower back in contact with the cushion noted, and the tightening in the rest of the body appeared to be breaking up, or maybe it felt like that. This continued, and attention moved from one point of tightening, tingling, to another. But each time, it quickly passed away, and tingling appeared somewhere else. The thought of flux and that there is too much activity appeared in the mind. Breathing noted again, alternated with tingling, and pressure that was building. Came out of the meditation after 50 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Observed some of the familiar mental processes slowing down enough to catch what it was doing and motivation behind these. For example, became aware of reaching out for the phone when bored or distracted or excited. It was hilarious to observe this over a couple of days. Had little idea previously of this behavior. Phone free time appeared as a more useful option and managed to do this as an experiment for short periods in the day, but noted the resistance. However, didn't give in to the urge to check the phone during those set periods. Also noting some interesting things while interacting with family members. Recognized few times when the mind was preparing to verbally oppose to the other. And on noting this, managing to change the response. This helped to retain the peace in the mind and in the outer situation. When others were discussing politics, noted the judgment in mind about them. It was hilarious again. Both people doing the same action of judging others. This awareness helped reduce the mental judgment considerably. Hopefully, the humor of these unwise behaviors will help see motivation behind these and consider the consequences beforehand. Venerable Bhante, looking forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. End of report.
Okay, this is not only your mind, this is the human mind at work, right? So this is how all the people behave. It's not only you, right? Others, they appear blissful. They appear they are not doing that. They appear so behaved in their bodies and probably even verbally. But inside, this garbage is there. Everybody. It's the human mind that we are talking about. So it's a good observation. When you know yourself, you can know others. This is how everybody is behaving. When you observe yourself, you know how others are behaving. You know the reasoning behind that. You don't have to go and put them under a microscope. Instead, by observing you, you know how others are working. So this is only a single point that we are observing. It's like observing a temperature in a single point. Let's say in a room, we are observing a temperature, right? We feel the heat, we feel the cold nature. So this is the energy, this is the temperature that we are talking about. When we experience that everywhere in this world, the temperature, sensation, that feeling would be the same, right? We know that this is how it feels. This is the behavior of it. It could be various in other places, but the sensation is the same. The process is the same. So that's what we are doing. We observe our mind. We pay attention to ourselves. We discover ourselves. When we do that, we discover the human race. We discover the human mind. This is how it's behaving. This is the natural behavior of it, right? So the idea is to know. When you know, the options become available to you. The choices are there. If you don't know, then you are caught. If you don't know, then you are a slave to this process. When you know the judging, when you know how you want to oppose others, then you have options. When you know how addicted you are to your, let's say, phone, or probably to social media, or probably to something else, when you know that, then options become available. As long as you don't know, there's no option, right? So probably you know, but you are doing the same thing. Still much better than not doing. You know you are doing the wrong thing. Still much better than not knowing. You know, but you are breaking some kind of a precepts or something. But it's better because you know. That very knowing will protect you. When you wear a glove, you don't have to worry about touching an electric fence because you have a glove there that will protect you. So this mindfulness, this awareness is acting as a glove, which will protect you. It will separate you from that process. It will create this protection in between. It will create a distance in between. That distance will protect you. So you have to observe again and again. When you see how addicted you are into social media, you can see, can I stay a few hours without this? When you see how addicted you are to your phone, can I keep this aside, keep it muted and do something else? Those options become available. So there's a lot of science between these things, you know, behind these things, social media, let's say, even the phones, let's say, a lot of science is there. Right? Maybe you have heard of Paolo's dogs. So every time before feeding them, you ring this bell and train them. So they hear the bell, they get the meals. So this behavior was trained again and again. After a while, they noticed that even without the meal, only by hearing the bell, these dogs, they are waiting to eat. They show that signs, right? They are addicted to that bell sound, not to the meal, just to the bell. And they behave that way. So this is the same training that we undergo when we use a phone or notifications, let's say. Various apps are there. So they make this sound. With that sound, it's again and again training your mind. Create this addiction. So you get a notification sound and you hear it. Now there's this desire to check your phone. Now there's this craving to check your phone. Without checking it, you can't stay for a few minutes even. So a lot of science behind these things. To how to create these people addicted to these phones, devices, social media. So if you at least know that addiction, then it's much better than not knowing. Then you have few options you can execute. That's the idea. So even these teenagers these days, they are addicted. And by like 15, 16 years, they get depressed. They can't sleep. Various things come. These are the reasoning. Technology. You are separated from the world. You don't know what's happening surrounding you. You are in the cyber world. So it's natural that they get sick in their mind. They get depressed in their mind. So this mindfulness, this knowing is the idea. Observe yourself. Know how you are coming into various judgments. Know how you want to go after various people. Know your addictions. This observation, you do it again and again. And with that awareness, you can even argue with people. With that awareness, you can even judge. With that awareness, you can go and fight with your family members about politics. That's fine. You know that very knowing is what we are talking about. When you know, you have other options available. You can stay neutral. You can take it positively or you can take it negatively. As this training, we try to go against the usual behavior. Let's say good things we take as positive. So can we stay neutral or can we stay like negative towards them? So this is the training. Try different options. Try different pathways in your brain. Stop the usual thing and try various other things. That's the idea of the practice. When you see, let's say, political argument, it's going against you. They are appreciating the other side, the side you don't like. But can you, as a part of the training, can you be a part of that discussion? And can you do the same appreciation that you hate? How much resistance will be there in your mind? So try, this is how the training goes. In a way, we are not standing in any side. We are not taking any side. One moment you are positive, next moment you are negative, and next moment you are neutral. So in a way, people will find fault in this practice. They are not walking their talk or something like that, they will say. But if you stay attached to one view, then you are caught. As soon as it is changed, you are caught. So we try to stay open. One moment you know that you are taking the positive side. One moment you know that you are taking the negative side. One moment you know that you are neutral. That very experiment is what we are doing. And you can really see the resistance in your mind. When you go against that flow, when you execute a new circuit, you can really see how there is resistance, how there is friction in your mind. Let's say you go and appreciate the other party that you don't like. There'll be friction in your mind. And that very act, you will do with a lot of resistance. But that is the practice that we are talking about. We are not about politics. We are not about social media. But instead, finding peace among these things. Finding peace in this world that is full of chaos. So continue this observation. When you know you are protected, that is the idea I want to give. Then there's a certain part about thinking. We'll come back to that later during our talk.
That's all for the reports. And Amanta, maybe you want to take on now. Thank you, Bhante.
Sonali, you can allow the chance for the verbal questions.
Oh, yes. I almost forgot that.
That's all right.
Does anyone have any questions about the reports or anything that we've discussed? Please raise your Zoom hand or type your question and I can read it out to you. I don't see any hands raised. But one thing I'd like to mention is that the last report was almost like reading my thoughts. It just made me chuckle because that's how I feel most of the time as well in conversation. I do see that and it's almost my thoughts in that report. I can relate to it completely.
That's why I said human, right? Human.
Yeah. I don't see any hands raised, so I don't believe there are any questions. Don't see anything typed either. Namanta.
That's right. And thank you, Sonali, and much merits to you, and much merits to Bhante for the insights. I think everybody understands perfectly what is being said, so no questions. Now I would like to go through the beginner's introduction for the process. I will share my screen to go through the steps. Okay, so you can see there are five steps listed. This is basically some information, basic information on how to get started. There are two videos being presented from Nisarwane Forest Monastery for a beginner to go through and become familiarized with the concepts involved in these two practice sessions. One is mindful walking and the second is mindful sitting. So in mindful walking, you can go through the video and you will understand what you have to keep focus of, and the same for the mindful sitting video. I will put in these links into the Zoom chat section soon after this introduction. Then the tough task will be allocating time each day to do some active mindfulness practice like this, the walking and the sitting. Then you can allocate, if you are starting 10 to 20 minutes a day, and when you are increasing the practice, so improve, when you extend, going through the practice further and further, you can increase the duration to 1 hour for each session. So that will be 2 hours in total. That's the ideal amount of time we would recommend for you to keep on, to continue on mindfulness practice. And then the third is the report writing step, which becomes a very formidable step in strengthening your own practice, because you are converting something you experience into a written format. So you can write about in the mindful session, in the mindful walking session, you can write about the way your body was moving, the way the attention was caught by the feet in contact with the ground, and then whether there were any distractions from thoughts that arise within your mind, or from noises or surrounding objects. So likewise, you can talk about what you experience during that mindful walking. Then the mindful sitting session, you will experience breath, or you may experience focus retained on the abdomen rising and falling, bodily vibrations or sensations, and the thought processes. So you can write about them in your own words. And if you write a report, you can adapt your own style, and feel free to include more details if you feel like including more details. That is fine. Then with these two styles of practice, you can compile the report for both sessions and either email to us at beginnersnv@gmail.com, or use the Google form. Again, these two links I will be put into the Zoom chat soon, and this way you can continue your mindfulness journey, and all the session recordings will be kept in the same link shown here. So this is the 45th session, and you will have access to all the previous recordings through the web link mentioned there. So essentially, those are the five steps. The critical step would be number 2 and 3. Once you get started, even for a experienced mindfulness practitioner, allocating daily time in your timetable and also writing reports is a continuous action step that needs to happen regularly for you to keep on improving. That's the normal advantage and the normal advice of this system. So with that finished, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, representing Nisarwane Forest Monastery, to commence with the talk on mindfulness, so that we can gather very high value insights from Bhante on how to progress further in this journey. So I would hand over the program to Banti again. Much merits to you, Banti.
Okay, Namantha, so we can take about 10-15 minutes to discuss a little bit more about the practice. So today I thought of explaining a little bit about overthinking. Now, usually some of you are programmed to overthink every little thing, and that creates a lot of trouble in your mind. So there's this idea about a butterfly effect, right? Something small can, as a flap of a butterfly's wing, can create a tornado somewhere else. So that's the idea of it, right? So even in our minds, the same thing can happen. Some small incident can create a tornado in your mind due to the overthinking. Because various things are happening, you can't stop that. You can't prevent that, right? So every day you experience 1,001 things, right? Probably positive, probably negative. Neutral things usually come and go. You don't even notice. But what happens is that one, probably like few of these things, they penetrate into your mind. You start thinking about them. Sometimes you start worrying about them. So these little things could create a tornado in your mind due to the overthinking. Some people, they are very much addicted to this. They do overthinking again and again and again till they even become sick, till they even become depressed. They do this again and again. If you search for the root, it's something very small. But they have created a dragon out of that. They have created a tornado out of that. So this overthinking is there, right? So when you try to find a lasting peace in this world, you have to solve this problem of overthinking. Usually when it comes to thinking, we think that it becomes wisdom. It becomes knowledge to our life. We think that this is the valuable thing that we have to do, right? That is our usual behavior. We like thoughts so much. We like insightful ideas so much. Even if you see these popular books, you can really see how the overthinking is happening. Although it is very interesting, although you spend so much time on these books, that's overthinking, right? You create these very attractive stories, ideas, and you know, you talk about them. Pages after pages, you talk about them. So in a way, it's all in their mind, not in this real world. Not this in this real world, just thoughts are there. Just thoughts are there. So that problem you can face in your day-to-day life, this problem of overthinking, how it is affecting your family life, how it is affecting your professions, how it is affecting you, you can really see. So how to find a lasting peace is a valuable question. So a few weeks back, there was this survey done. I think a group of 50 people, they participated, and the question asked was, are you happy today? And probably like 75% of the people, they answered yes. 25% of them answered no, out of 50, right? Then there was a follow-up question. The next question was, why? It's a bit of a strange question when you ask why you are happy, right? So these people, they were answering, right? I got a gift today. Today is my birthday. Or somebody said pleasant words to me. So they are giving reasons to be happy, right? So let's say you are happy because of a reason. Then is it lasting? This reason in this outside world, they are always changing. It's a continuous flux of change that is happening in this world. So if it is, if your peace, if your happiness is based on these outside things, somebody's words, somebody's actions, or something material, then of course it is doomed to change. So one moment you are happy, next moment you are sad. And when bad things happen, you overthink. You think about them again and again. This person is trying to take revenge on me. Okay, something else, like this entire world is after me. All the bad things are happening to me. Like that you are thinking. So this thinking creates more and more chaos in your mind. This thinking will create more and more friction in your mind. So how to find a lasting peace is a valuable question that you have to ask yourself. If it is based on outside things, if it is based on material things, then of course it's not permanent. It's a temporary peace or temporary happiness that we are talking about. So the lasting peace would come from within. That's the idea of the practice, right? So when you pay attention, when you observe yourself, you can really see this process of thinking. Earlier, you gave a lot of credit to this process of thinking. Earlier, you gave a lot of value. But now, you try to be neutral and see how this process of thinking is happening. It's not easy. Usually, you get carried away by thinking. Usually, you get caught in this process of thinking. So we have a solution. We say, okay, don't pay attention too much into the thinking processes. Don't pay too much attention to the thoughts. Instead, pay attention to your breath. Instead, pay attention to your steps, the sensations of your body. This body is always present. It doesn't go to the future. It doesn't go to the past. The body is always present. So we say, pay attention to your body. As a beginner, you observe your breath. You observe the steps. You try to continue with that observation. Can I observe a few breaths? Can I keep observing my feet? You do that again and again. When you do that, what happens is that you are training your mind to be present. You are breaking those thinking processes. You are breaking those patterns, paths that are so strong in your mind. You are breaking them again and again, and you are bringing your attention to the present moment. You are bringing your attention to the body. So for a beginner, this body becomes their safe haven. Again and again, they observe their breath. Every moment you are observing your breath, you are breaking lifetimes of bad habits. Again and again, you observe your breath. Again and again, you observe your feet. Again and again, while doing your day-to-day activities, you observe the sensations of your body. If you are brushing your teeth, you observe the sensations of that. If you are eating, you observe the sensations of that. If you are taking a bath, you observe the sensations of that. So that's the idea of the practice. You break your thought processes and you bring your attention to the body. When you do that, every time you do that, you are reducing the power of these thought processes. So we think that thinking is valuable. Now we are not giving that credit to thinking. We are not giving that value to that thinking. Instead, we give value to the present moment. Instead, we give value to this body or body sensations. So when it comes to thinking, we heard one report earlier, even the practice is encouraged by thinking, right? You heard it, right? It's that person or thing that thought arise, suggesting that we shouldn't go looking after things. Instead, suggesting that you should observe what is available. So this is also the thinking. So in a way, for the practice also, thinking helps. Thinking helps. That's how we start. Even I am talking based on the thoughts, right? You are giving these reports based on the thoughts. When we speak, that's thoughts, that's talking, right? So it helps. It helps even to the practice, it helps. Even to function your day-to-day life, it helps. But overthinking, it's a killer. Overthinking will create a lot of confusion in your life. Overthinking will create dragons in your life. So in a way, we break that habit of overthinking and we try to be more and more present. We try observing our body. We try again and again breaking those thought patterns and bringing our attention back to the present moment. So this process, we are trying again and again. During walking, during sitting, even during our day-to-day life, we do this. And when we do this, although the thoughts are there, some people, they try to stop these thoughts. They think, if I can be peaceful without thoughts, they think that's a valuable part of the practice. So they try to stop thoughts, no thinking, they say. But when you do this, then again, there's trouble. We shouldn't interfere with the thoughts. We shouldn't try to prevent thoughts from happening. Instead, you let the thoughts flow. You are not encouraging them. Instead, let them come naturally and be there. You try to be the observer. You try to observe your breath. You observe your feet. Sometimes you know that you are thinking. That's fine. You don't have to stop thoughts from happening. You don't have to prevent them. Instead, what we do is that we observe. When you observe, you start to notice, probably not initially, but with time, you start to notice that there are gaps in between these thoughts. Initially, you think that everywhere there are thoughts, chain thoughts, train thoughts, they say. But when you pay attention again and again and again, then you start to notice, although the thoughts are there are gaps in between. Similar to how there's a gap in between in-breath and out-breath. Initially, you can't even notice your breath. Once you notice your breath, you say, okay, the breath is there, but there's no gap. So you are advised to observe again and again and again. When that happens, you realize, okay, I can feel the in-breath, I can feel the out-breath, and there's a gap in between. The more you observe, you realize breath becomes smaller and smaller, gap increases. Breath becomes shorter and shorter, gap become longer and longer. This is the process that is happening. Even with your breath, that same process is happening. With the thoughts also, the same process will happen. Initially, you think that everywhere there are thoughts, never-ending thoughts. That's your idea. So we say, observe. Observe, be the observer. Try again and again. And when you do that, you realize although the thoughts are there are gaps in between. More you observe, you realize thoughts become shorter and shorter, gaps become wider and wider. So this is the practice. It happens naturally. It's a natural evolution that we are talking about. The practice evolves naturally, similar to how the breadth is changing. Breadth is a good indicator. When you see how the breadth is changing, same thing is happening to your thoughts as well. Same thing is happening to your emotions as well. So in a way, this breath is an indicator of the world. When it is fading, the world is fading. So you can see, although the thoughts are there, gaps are much larger. Although the emotions are there are longer gaps in between. So when we see that process, when we see this change happening, that's the real practice that we are talking about. You don't have to prevent thoughts anymore. You don't have to worry about thoughts anymore. Let them come and go naturally. Initially, you think that thoughts are coming and disturbing you. But when you get to this level of practice, you realize, I am going and I am disturbing the thoughts. They are going somewhere else. You go and interfere. You go and disturb. You go and start complaining. So that's the real process that is happening. So more you observe, you realize this is how it's happening. This is how the thoughts are. Although there are thoughts, there are gaps as well. This is how the real peace will appear. So in a way, this realization, it doesn't come from thoughts. The realization, it doesn't come from thinking. Instead, this realization, instead this peace will arise from your body. In a way, we can say it will arise from your gut. You know, the gut feeling, right? We say gut feeling. We say intuition, right? So that is where the realization will arise. That is where the real peace will arise. Probably this is bad news for some of you who encourage a lot of thinking. But I have to say, the realization will arise from your body. Or the peace will arise from your body. It's not the thinking that will bring you peace. It's not the thinking that will bring you this realization. Instead, it's the body that will bring you this peace. So this is the idea. So when you encourage thoughts, you are not encouraging the practice. Instead, you are encouraging something else. So that's why every time we hear those questions about various things, we ask them to observe the breath. We tell them, observe the breath and tell me how you observe your breath. We tell them, walk among these thoughts and tell us how you observe your body. We ask them to do their day-to-day activities and tell us how they experience that activity. Why? Because these thought processes, they won't bring you peace. They won't bring you realization. So when you ask these various lengthy questions, in a way you are not given a proper answer. So it is disappointing to ask questions even. You know, all the time I ask this, but he is not answering, he is saying something else. He is asking to observe the breath. He is asking to observe the walking process. What is there to observe? The breath is there. What is there to observe? The sensations are there. They are wandering. But that is where the real peace will arise. It won't arise from thinking. It won't arise from thought processes. Instead, it will arise from the breath or the body that we are observing. It will arise from the gut that we are observing. So that's the thing that we are doing again and again. You give less value to these thought processes and you bring your attention to the present moment. You observe what is happening again and again. When you observe, you realize there are gaps in between. In between in breath and out breath, there's a gap. In between thoughts, there's a gap in between sounds. There's a gap that we call sound of silence. So more you practice, you realize majority of your attention goes to this gap instead of the things that are there. Thoughts are there, but your attention is much with the gap in between. The breath is there, but your attention is much with the gap in between. The sounds are there, but your attention is much with the sound of silence. This is how the practice will evolve. Again and again, you do this and your mind, it is always changing. After a while, probably like after doing few weeks, few months, you realize I am not the same person anymore. We say there's a new normal that's there. Earlier, you were a different person. Your status of mind was different. It was full of lust. It was full of anger. It was full of jealousy. But few months of practice, you realize this is my new normal. Although the lust is there, it is not that prominent as it used to do. Although the anger is there, it is not that prominent as it used to do. So this is how we are evolving due to the practice. Just this example given, Theseus's ship, right? So this ship, it was a wooden ship and it was saved for 1,000 years. So this is built out of wooden pieces. So when the decay happens, what they do is that they replace it with a fresh part, fresh feet, right? They take the decayed part away. They replace it with a fresh wooden part. So they have done this for 1,000 years and they have preserved the ship. Now, when you go and ask after 1,000 years, is that the same ship that is there? Is it the same? Probably there is no single part from the original ship. It is totally new, although it appears as the original one. So this is what's happening in our mind even. We do this practice again and again and again. And after some time, you realize, this is my new normal. This is my new mind. It's not the same. It's not that the same. It is changing with time. It is evolving with time. So this evolution is happening inside us. When you practice, you become more and more peaceful. When you practice, your values change. When you practice, your status of day-to-day happiness will change. You will become more and more peaceful, and that peace will be natural to you. So that's the idea. Try to see your breath. Try to observe your feet. Try to be with your body during your day-to-day life. And with time, you realize that brings you the real peace that we are talking about. It's not the thinking that will bring you peace. Instead, it will come from your body. So continue with your practice. And if you share your experience, then we can discuss about it as well. So that's the idea of this session. And thank you for listening today.
Much merits for Bhante for that exceptionally insightful talk on mindfulness. As we proceed, we do notice different things and we have to adjust our response accordingly. And what Bhante mentions is a guidance to that direction. So with that, the talk on mindfulness has come to an end. So if any of you have a question based on the talk, or maybe based on the Q&A session content, you can raise a Zoom hand and I will provide the chance for you to present the question to Bhante. I think there are no questions, and we can. Okay, there is a raised hand from Chamari. I will allow you to speak by unmuting you. You can speak now, Chamari. Thank you.
Thank you, Namantha. Bhante, you may not give me the answer because it is thinking. I'm aware of it, but I just wondered the two chetasikas, the vitakka and the panya, initial application and the wisdom. So in the day-to-day thinking, there is initial application being applied all the time, and whether the panya or the wisdom arises from the body, from the a gut, as you were explaining. I just had that coming up in the mind to check.
Okay, so when you say vitakka, so those are the basis for words or the thinking, right? So that's how it happens. You pay attention to something, right? Then you see the details of it. So that's the idea of it. You direct your mind to something. You direct your mind to a sound that you are hearing. Do you direct your mind to a thing that you see? And then you hear that sound, you hear the details of it. You hear how vivid and colorful that thing is. So this is the basis for talking. This is the basis for thinking. This is the basis for explaining and talking about things. So even in practice, we use that, right? When you walk, you direct your mind towards something and you see the details. You observe, okay, you direct your mind towards the feet and you observe the sensations. You observe this roughness. You observe the ground, the texture of the ground. So even the practice is based on these things, right? So you can't completely abandon these things. Instead, you start with them. And when you practice, you realize, although you use them, after a while, they disappear. Let's say you pay attention to your breath. You pay attention to your walking process. But after a while, the breath disappears. Then the walking becomes automatic and, you know, it becomes more like a process that's happening. So we call them the flow state. Now you are not directing your attention. Now you are not directing, but still there are things that's coming towards you. Let's say out of this flow, you suddenly realize there's a thought. So you haven't directed your attention, but still you see something, you see it colorfully, you see the details. So that's another part of the practice. Now you are not pointing your mind towards something, but still things appear and they become vivid and colorful, right? But even evolve further, with more and more practice, you realize now although the things are there, they are not so colorful, they are not so vivid. They are there, but my attention is not going towards them. It becomes less colorful, like more like black and white. The boredom is a very good sign of that. The boredom that you get in your practice, that's a very good sign that this process is happening. Then you come and complain as soon as I sit, as soon as I start walking, the boredom hits me. I become sleepy, I fall asleep. You come with various things, right? So this is the process. These things are used even in the practice. So you talked about wisdom. Wisdom will arise from that the gap in between. That's the idea of it. That's why we say you observe your breath, wisdom will arise from that. You observe how this process is happening again and again, wisdom will arise from that. That is the true wisdom that we are talking. Let's say you observe your breath, your attention goes to a sound, right? Now there's a change in between. You are observing breath, now you are with the sound. Some people, they come and complain that my attention broke. Mindfulness got carried away. A disturbance came. Some people will come and say, okay, although the object of mindfulness changed, I was able to be mindful. Now I am hearing a sound. So this is the wisdom part that we are talking about. It is continuing with the practice. You change your posture. As long as you walk, you are mindful. As long as you sit, you are mindful. How about in between? In between also, you can be mindful. When you go drink a cup of tea, you can be mindful. When you go sit, you can be mindful. That in between part also you cover. This is how the wisdom will arise. This is the wisdom part that we are talking. It's the process that will bring it, right? So you have to see how this wisdom is arising from the body or the gut, right? It's the gap in between. It's the true wisdom that will arise, right? So that's why when they practice, they become more and more silent sometimes. It's not a silence out of ignorance. Instead, they know the process. They know that these things are changing. They are not attached to them. That's how you gain the true peace. So continue with your practice and you can really experience it. If you present a report about your practice, then we can discuss further.
Thank you very much, Mahante. It is very, very clear. Thank you. Much merit.
Thank you, Chamri, for that question. And I think if there is anyone else, you can raise the hand and I can give you some time. Yes, Nadeep, you can present your question. Thank you.
Thank you, Navanta. Thank you, Bhante. The question actually raised out of the question Chamri raised, and also the answer Bhante given about the boredom, which is a result of the gap in between the breath. So I was reading a technical book, and the author said, if you feel boring or boredom, that's where you understand the actual theory. So, he said, don't stop if you feel bored, continue. So I think that's the very theory. Even though he said that in the book, even before I read the book, I knew that through our mindful practice, we sometimes, come across that state of boredom, and that's where the wisdom opens its doors to investigate deep into our practice. And after that, we actually, the boredom itself disappeared. If we, but it needs to understand, there is a boredom, we have to practice it. I think through the mindful practice, I discovered that, and that's helped a lot to, even studying, even, writing something when the boredom comes. So I figured that out. That's the time we need to put a bit of courage and, be endured or persevered. That's where, I applied, and then I understand, this is the boredom, but we have to persevere. Thank you, Bhante.
Yes, so you are going through the boredom. Basically, you are not escaping it. You are not avoiding it. If you are sitting, you continue with your sitting. You go through the boredom. You let it come and go. You stay there till that process is finished. That's the idea. Let's say boredom hits you during walking. You continue with your walk. till you become fresh again. So that's how you continue with your practice. And it's a sign that when your mind is disinterested, the boredom is there. So that's a good sign that you are not so much attracted to the world anymore. Instead, you accept more and more the present moment. Boredom is a very good sign of that. It appears and you start complaining. But that's a good sign. When the boredom is there, that's a good sign that you are disinterested in this world. When the breath disappears, boredom appears. When you see more and more gaps in between thoughts, boredom appears. So it's an early sign that you just have to endure. You just have to be there. You just have to go through this boredom. Again and again, 1001 times, you are doing the same thing. And then you realize out of this boredom, the peace appears. The realization appears. The lasting peace that we are talking about. It's a gradual process, so you do it again and again. More and more you experience, you will realize it for yourself.
Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Nadir, for that very good observation. And yes, I also feel in line with that observation. Next, we have Don Gihanta raising Zoom hand. Gihanta, you can speak now.
Thank you, Namanta. Venerable Bhante, we have talked about awareness. We have talked about wisdom, insight. I get the impression that these are different from thoughts or thinking. So what is awareness? What is wisdom, insight? Are they also mental functions? Because we appear to see them as different to thought. Can you help me understand that?
Yes, that's the session idea of the session. So the invitation is that you do your walking practice, you do your sitting practice, and you come with your experience. You tell us, okay, this is my experience. This is how I experience the present moment or mindfulness. This is how I experience the past or the future. This is how I experience the boredom. This is how I experience the thoughts. That's the idea of it, right? Even our topic today is about overthinking, how we are creating this chaos in our mind due to the overthinking. So, but we suggest as well that you observe your body, you observe your breath, you observe your feet, you bring your attention to the present moment. That very act will reduce the power of thought processes, and the real peace will arise from this present moment. Or the real peace will arise from the body, or the real peace will arise from your gut. That's the idea, right? So continue with it. Try to experience for yourself. And if you present that experience, if you present, okay, I sat for a while and this is how I experienced mindfulness, the idea of mindfulness. Is it same as thinking or is it different? You can tell us, right? And this is how I experienced the thinking processes. Am I lost in them or am I present that thinking is happening? You can tell us. So that's the practice that we are talking about. Otherwise, we can have long discussions, but still, we are not talking about the same thing. When we experience, it becomes universal. That's why I said earlier, this is a report about human mind. It's not about you. Sonali was agreeing. She was shaking her head. That report is talking about me. That's the human nature. That's the universe. It becomes universal when you practice. Otherwise, we are not on the same page. So that's the idea. Try to see for yourself and let's discuss again next time.
Thank you, Bhante.
All right. I think we have come to the end of questions on the talk as well. So I would quickly move on to wrap up today's session as we have reached the time duration allocated. So I would like to mention with much respect and gratitude the commitment and perseverance from Bhante to this program and to today's session as well. Much merits to Bhante, and may these merits contribute to Bhante's own practice to improve, and for Bhante's capability to provide ongoing support and contribution to our program in this manner. So, and also I would like to mention the name of the Most Venerable Bhante, Udayiriyagama Dhammajiva Mahatheru, the chief abbot of the Nisaranvane Forest Monastery, for insightfully requesting to create this program. And then also the organizers who worked hard at the beginning to formulate this program, put the foundations in, and also who are still persevering and contributing towards the wellness of the program. So much merits to you as well, and hope that your own mindfulness practices improve each and every day. Then also we have all of you joining through the Zoom meeting and also joining through the Facebook live stream. And the program is committed because of your presence in these sessions. So thank you, and much merits to you. And I hope these merits have a flow-on effect to you, thereby improving your own practices into the future. And I hope that all of you are able to keep on regularly joining the program to extract wisdom and insight, and to use again in your daily practices and daily life activities. As I mentioned last week too, mental health and mental fitness is a very critically important aspect of all our lives, because of the things like COVID, war, economies moving downwards, and all these issues that we are facing. So being able to develop these practices before something happens is quite critical for our wellness throughout life, in all situations. So keep that in mind and try to persevere and allocate good time to these sessions in your daily life schedule. So with that, I would give a half a minute interval for anyone to raise Zoom hand to make a comment or suggestion on the overall program structure or the flow of the program. Yes, I think there's no one raising hand on this moment. So I have put in some messages on the Zoom chat, just general messages on the web pages and the invitation to invite others to the sessions. So for all our mindfulness program purposes, the session has concluded. I would like to wish each of you a happy and mindful week ahead, and wish that the mindfulness practice keeps on happening and keeps on improving, and we will meet you and again try to create benefit for all of us next week, the same time on the same day. Till then, have a happy and mindful week ahead, and see you soon. Thank you. I will end the Zoom session shortly.